go. Now we're on. You know why? Because there's absolutely no way out. You know, you get in there, you're riding up. And when I get on an elevator, it is a calculated risk. Getting on the elevator, I got to think, all right, is there a way out of this elevator? I got to look around. Is there an escape hatch, any of that? I go to the hospital, you know, frequently, go see people. And I like those elevators because there's a way out. And so I started thinking in my head, why am I that way? Why am I claustrophobic? Well, so I started looking back in the old recesses of my mind. What happened to me that was so traumatic that made me claustrophobic? Because I haven't always been that way, right? I haven't always been that way. So I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, when I was in 10th grade, I went to Kings Island. Anybody been to an amusement park, rode on roller coasters, right? Get on the ride on roller coaster. And I remember me and my buddy were pretty jacked up about this particular ride, and we get on it, and it's one of those that's like indoors and it's dark and like spray mist in your face and all this stuff. It's beautiful. It's a great ride. And we're riding through there, and we get to the end, and it stops, and what's supposed to happen? The bar that's on top of you is supposed to lift off. And guess what? That thing didn't come up. And we're like kind of pushing on it, and we hear in the front, it's kind of making me tight-chested thinking about it. But there in the front, there's kind of rumblings like there's something wrong. And for an hour and a half, we sat there with that bar on top of us. I don't know if you ever rode in a ride, but it has those pads on the side of your head, and like you can't really see to your right or your left. You can only see like right in front of you. And this bar is like pushed down on top of us, and we're just waiting for that, you know, button to be pushed or whatever they need to do to get us free, right? To be rescued from being captive by this roller coaster. And this man comes up, and he literally has to unscrew the top of the thing and like take the whole thing apart to get me out. I want to tell you, when he got me out of there, I jumped out and I hugged him. Now this guy doesn't know me from Adam, like he doesn't know me at all, but I hugged the dude. He looked at me real weird, and I took off running. I was rescued, like physically rescued. And I got to thinking about that this week with this psalm. This psalm is not talking about physical rescue. It's talking about spiritual rescue. And certainly I felt free in that moment of that bar coming off, but it pales into comparison of the spiritual freedom that I received when Christ came into my heart and freed me from sin and death. It pales in comparison to that. That I am free from both sin and death. And so today we are looking at a psalm about remembering who God is and how God has rescued you. And the discipline of remembering. Remember on this road, this discipleship road, right? Remember all these items where Todd wore the backpack all the whole sermon last time. I'm not going to do that. I get too hot. But we looked through all these items. You know, we talked about repentance. We talked about worship. Talked about God as a rescuer last week. Todd talked about, what did he talk about? Anybody remember? Shoe shining, which is what? Right, washing the feet. Yeah, we're serving people, right? The act of service. And today we're going to be talking about in discipleship, we remember what God has done for us. We remember God's rescue. And when I started thinking about remembering, I thought about my journal. Now, if you open this journal, this is a journal from probably 3 years ago. You're going to read like what's going on in my life 3 years ago. But I can open this journal at any point in time and remember what's going on in my life. Remembering, kind of logging, like what God is doing in my life and how important it is for us to keep kind of a log of what is happening between us and the Lord and between us and other people. And so this week, our item of the week is a journal. So maybe that'll help you kind of remember. We'll talk about that more in a minute. So if you have your scriptures, we're in Psalm chapter 124. And as I talked about, this psalm is a psalm of remembering. The psalmist David, who wrote this, is saying, Israel, you need to remember where God was faithful in your life. You need to remember that without God, you would be in some big time trouble, right? And I want you to sing this with me. Sing it together as a church. Sing it together as a family. Now, remember that when he is writing this and when they're singing this, they are joyful. And a lot of times when we stop to remember what God has done for us, it's often in the dark moments of our life. Like remembering that God is faithful, remembering he has freed us from sin, we are his children, we're adopted. Those are kind of sometimes, a lot of times we remind ourselves of that is in the moments where it seems life seems to be the toughest, but they're actually remembering in the moments when it's a moment of like joy and a moment like today where it's sun shining and it's just beautiful. That the psalmist is reminding us here that we need to both remember God rescued us in the worst points of our life and in the best times of our life, both. In the mundane times of our life, but also in the times where it is a big old struggle. So, without further ado, let's look at Psalm 124. It'll be on the screen. I'm going to read it for us as well. Psalm 124 is the Psalm of David and the Psalm of Ascent. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat, what if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us up alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us, and the torrents would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. But praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. The trap is broken, and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That last part right there, who made heaven and earth, that is important because you're going to hear that over and over. It is recognizing God as the creator, the maker. He is the one that we can go to for freedom. So I'm going to give you really five things that this teaches us to remember about our walk with the Lord. Five things that it teaches us to remember. Let's look at verse number one. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat. Number one, remember that God is on your side. Remember that God is on your side. Now, when you first think about God being on your side, you might think of, you know, I think of like in eighth grade when I was about to get in a fight and I had this, my biggest best friend got in behind me and he's standing behind me. I'm like talking trash and the other guy runs off because he's standing behind me. That's not necessarily what we're talking about here. What the psalmist is talking about is God is always on the side of obedience. He is always on the side of obedience and righteousness. That if you're ever wondering like what side God is on, it's not political, it's not you know, who's biggest and baddest. It's the side of obedience and righteousness. And where do we find this? Where do we find these things? From the truth, from the Word of God. That's where we find it. If we wonder what side God is on, it's obedience and righteousness. He is on that side because when we're obedient to God on our journey, we can what? We can hear him clearly. We can see clearly the journey ahead of us. We live like Jesus and we do what he did. That's obedience, and God is on that side. God cannot bless disobedience. He simply can't do it. It's not in his nature or character. Now, even when God is on our side, I don't have to tell you this, trouble shows up, doesn't it? Like even, we could like devote our whole life to the Lord and like check all the boxes and do all the things, but trouble still comes our way. It just so happens when that trouble comes our way, if we're obedient and we know that God is on our side, we know that he has every single resource to meet that trouble in our life. Every single resource. If God made everything, like he made all the money, he made all the mountains, he made all the houses, it's all his. He has every resource to get you through any fear, worry, or doubt in your life. He does. Any moment that you step into that, any struggle in your marriage, any struggle with parenting, any struggle with grandparenting, you know, whatever that might look like, he has the resources. All you have to do is ask him, Lord, help me. Help me to get through this. Show me what you need to do, what I need to do in these moments. I remember riding with my buddy Josh Causey. He was a pastor at the other church I was at, and I was struggling with making a decision. I think I've shared this with you before, but I was trying to decide. I don't really know what. I was probably amped up about something I shouldn't have been, but I was trying to decide, like, how should I go about doing this? And he looked at me and said, if only we had a God we could pray to who has every single resource at his hands. If only. You know, if only in your moment of struggle, fear, worry, and doubt, if only we had a God to pray to that could meet you in the point of your need. If only. But we know, like the psalmist, that we do. We do have a God that can meet us at the point of every single need because God is on our side. Now for us, unlike the psalmist, we know that he sent his son Jesus, who is absolutely on our side. Romans 8, it's the greatest chapter in the entire Bible. That's kind of biased, but you should read it. But it talks about Christ being for us. If Christ is for us, who can be against us, right? We've heard that over and over. And this is something we need to log in our hearts. And remember that God is for us. He is on our side. And certainly, you can get through this world without Christ. People do it all the time, but why in the world would you want to when you have God who has every single resource? He will meet you at every point of your need. So number one, remember God is on our side. The psalmist is singing this. He's pretty amped up. He's so excited that God is on our side that he's singing this along with his brothers and his sisters. And then look at verse 2. The second thing we want to remember. We want to remember, what if we didn't have God? We want to remember our life without God. We want to remember, what would it look like? What would it seem like? And this is what the psalmist does. He kind of goes down memory lane here. Like, what would your life look like had you never met Yahweh? What would your life look like had you never met Christ? Like, what would it look like? And this is what he says. What if the Lord had not been outside when people attacked us? He goes down through, this is what would happen. They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us, and a torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of fury would have overwhelmed our very lives, but praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. Now, when I think about this what if idea, the first place I go is A Wonderful Life. Anybody ever seen that movie? It's A Wonderful Life. I mean, I literally watched that movie every Christmas Eve my entire childhood. I could go through it. But old dude's on the bridge, and what does he say? I wished I'd never been born. And then what happens? They start showing him what his life would be like had he never been born, right? And he shows, like, he goes and runs, runs to the library or runs to his house. His house isn't there. He does all the things. You've probably seen it. But it got me to thinking, like, what if I had never met Christ? What would my life look like? And the Jewish traveler here, this is pre-Christ, he knew his life was best with God. He knew it. You know why? Because he knew the story of when Moses parted the Red Sea. What if God didn't show up? What if that didn't happen? There was no freedom. They would have still been enslaved, right? And we know all the stories. We have Joshua, we have David, we have Daniel, and one of my favorites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? What if God didn't show up there? Those three dudes are ashes. They're toast, right? And then Elijah. We've talked about this story over and over and over, right? Elijah, he's with the prophets of Baal, and he prays to God that he would show up and basically show the prophets of Baal that God is who he says he is. And what happens? It lights up the altar, wicks up all the water, right? And God shows that he is who he says he is. But you know what happens when we remember our life without Christ, like what that would look like? It makes us thankful. It gives us a heart of thanks, right? When we look back and think about, like, what would my life look like without Christ? Of course, there's the freedom of sin and death, of course. But again, I go back to It's a Wonderful Life. When he, like, goes through all the things where he's like, my life is so different had I never been born. And then what happens? Oh, Clarence, he says, hey, look, you're back in the game. Everything's the way it should be. Right, and all the things that he at once had been so frustrated by, all of a sudden, what was he? He was so thankful. And I specifically remember he would go up the banister, like to run up the stairs, and that little ball that was on the banister would like come off. And I remember him just like kissing it, you know, and putting it back on there. Like, he was so thankful. And you know, when we start thinking in our head, like, what if I'd never met Christ? What if I never met him? You start thinking about what might your life look like? And you have a heart of thanksgiving. You have a heart that is like, I want to serve. I want to do what Jesus did. I want to be like Jesus. He says this, that you would be swallowed up alive. Without God, you would have been swallowed up alive. And translation here is that you're suddenly overtaken. Your life would have been like the monster under the bed. You know, kids, there's no monster under the bed, but if there were, you'd be like, monster would grab you and take you, and it was done. Right? That your life would have been suddenly overtaken. He said it, you would have been swept away. You would have been swept away by the flood torrent. Like it would have swept your feet under you and would have taken you. And for them, this was really interesting language because it was the Middle East. So a lot of times up on the mountain, it might be raining and they would have no idea. And they would be in these dry riverbeds fishing where there was water just a little bit. And all of a sudden the flash flood would come down and just sweep them away. So David would have got their attention here and says, hey, look, your life without God, you would have been absolutely swept away. And then verse 6, praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. Didn't let our teeth tear us apart. And literally what that translates into, what that Hebrew language is that you are not slowly grinded up, like a slow grind. That because of God, you weren't suddenly overtaken. Because of God, you weren't suddenly swept away and your life isn't ground up because he never abandons his people. God never abandons his people. So where would you be had you never met Christ? Where would you be had you never said yes to him? And what I love about the psalmist here is that while that sounds kind of depressing and like, oh my gosh, like I would have been swept away, he changes a what if to a what is. A what if to a what is. This is what's true. This is my what would happen. All right, this could what happen, but this is what's true. This is what I know is true. Look at verse 7. We escape like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. This is what is true about us remembering what God has done. For them, it was the freedom from slavery, right? The outside oppression, the Egyptians, all of that. For them, it's looking back and remember they're freed from slavery, a physical freedom. But for us, now it's a freedom from sin and death. It is a heart freedom. That he broke the snare that entrapped us of sin. And remembering that absolutely nothing is impossible for him. If he can break the bondage of sin, there are zero things impossible for God. Not one thing. And in our journey of discipleship, we need to remember that God broke the snare for us. Just like I talked about, you know, that lifting off of that roller coaster, like they moved it off and that freedom, that physical freedom I felt. We need to remember he did the same thing right on the cross. He lifted the weight of sin off of us. And in our journey with the Lord, it is important for us to be disciplined in remembering and writing down and thinking about how God broke the snare. Now, it says this, that we escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. When I think about that, it means that we were once trapped. Like, we had to escape, right? Like, to escape, you have to be trapped. And we were once trapped. And it goes back to this idea of like, we're going to have to endure moments where we feel trapped or moments that traps are set up for us in life or we step into really, really hard times, disease, destruction, disappointment, all of those things are going to show up. But praise God, he uses every single one of those to increase our faith. Praise God, he uses every single one of those for us to believe what he says in here is actually true, right? Look at 1 Peter 6, 1, 6 through 7. So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. I mean, you can read it in James, you can read it in Philippians. Look, when your faith is tested, when you are feel entrapped, when you feel strained, remembering God broke the snare, it will help you to understand your faith is deeper in the Lord. So we want to remember first that God is on our side. We want to remember what our life would look like without God. Remember that God broke the snare. And then finally, remember that it is God's nature to rescue. It is God's nature to rescue. That is in his nature. I want you to know that God's not, if you're flooding and you're drowning, he's not just going to look at you, throw a raft to you and be like, good luck, dude, I'll be on the shore. That old dude jumps in and he saves you every single time. When you call out for him, what does he do? He answers over and over in the Psalms. That's what it says. Over and over in the scriptures. When you cry out to the Lord will answer you and he will save you. You're adopted into his family. You're one of his own. Henry Nouwen wrote a parable. He's a Dutch priest. Love his writing. If you would like to read some of his stuff, you are welcome to. It's pretty good stuff. But he wrote this parable. I think it gives us a good picture of that. Henry Nouwen once told a parable about an old man who used to meditate each day by, I think it's like the, I can't pronounce the river, but it's a river in India. One morning, he saw a scorpion floating in the water. And when the scorpion drifted near the old man, he reached to rescue it, but it was stung by the scorpion. A bit later, he tried again and was stung again, the bite swelling his hand painfully and giving him much pain. Another man passed by and saw that what was happening and yelled at the meditator, "Hey, stupid old man, what's wrong with you? Only a fool would risk his life for the sake of an ugly, evil creature. Do you know you could kill yourself trying to save that ungrateful scorpion?" And the old man calmly replied, "My friend, just because it's in the nature of the scorpion to sting does not change my nature to save." Just because it's the nature of the scorpion to sting, it does not change my nature to save. And for us, God doesn't go off our nature. He goes off of his. It is his nature to save us. It's not based on anything we could do. It's not based on how much we love him or any of those things or on our performance in life, but solely based on his nature to rescue and save us, totally on him and what he has done. We want to remember that is God's nature. Look at verse 8. "Our help is from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." All through this psalm is a remembering of God's rescue. It's a remembering that he saved us. And then finally, verse 1 and 2, let's go back to that. This is the final remember that we sing it together. Look at what he says here. Look what David says here. He says, "Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side?" Again, this is kind of like, you'll see this with David's Psalms. It's a call and response, right? He's calling it out and he's saying, "Israel, I want you to repeat it with me. I want you to say it with me. Remember, church family, that he rescued us." Like, we can't do this alone. We weren't created to walk the journey up to the Lord, following the Lord alone. And David is telling us this right here in the scripture. We weren't meant to remember alone. We remember, we sing it together. Because oftentimes in this room, you're going to need moments where Oz comes in and says, "John, remember where he showed up? Remember where, not just he freed you from sin and death, but remember when he answered your prayer about your finances? Remember when he answered your prayer about someone who was sick? Remember when he answered the prayer about your marriage and freed it? Remember when he answered the prayer about your son or daughter?" We need people in our lives to help us remember that God has rescued us. He is on our side and he is faithful. Your story is absolutely important. It is always important. Shameless plug, in October, we're going to talk about story, all right? So you should come. We're going to talk about testimony. Don't be afraid. We're going to help you set all that up, and we're going to be able to share our story with each other. It's so important to do that and be able to see where God met each one of you in this room at the point of your need. Now, I know for me, because I've walked through therapy and counseling extensively, and I know that sometimes remembering and thinking back is really difficult because it brings up painful and sinful moments in my life. And I want to caution you on some things when it talks about remembering, all right, when we talk about this psalm. We got to be careful because sometimes when we look back, we can say, "Yes, God rescued you, rescued me, but look at me now. Look how sinful I am now. Look at the things I've done now." I want you to know, I say to the person who would say that, that would look back into their life and to say, "I'm just too sinful for him to rescue me now. I'm too sinful for him to be like that now. I want you to know that he loved you then, and he will love you now. He loved you then, and he will love you, and he loves you now. Where do we find this? Well, Romans 5, 6 through 11. This is beautiful. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by death of his Son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can all rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. He loved you then, and he loved you now. He loved you on the cross. He loved you in his resurrection. He loved you when you were weak. He loved you when you were sinning the worst in your life. And he loved you when you were an enemy. So when you think back, when you look back in your life and the enemy would put that in your head, I'm not the Christian or Christ follower I used to be, or I have all this baggage of sin, just remember he loved you then and he'll love you now. Also, not just sin, but pain. When we have thoughts, when we remember back, sometimes we have thoughts that are painful, right? And it brings things up, and I want to remind you very briefly that you can invite the Holy Spirit of God into any memory that you have. You can invite him in to meet you again at the point of your need in your past. That the Holy Spirit, God made time. That's a whole different teaching. But like, he can go anywhere. And he can meet you at the point of your need in your past. And so I caution you, when you remember, don't let the enemy say, you're too sinful, you're too nasty, you're too much now. I want you to remember, I want you to speak the simple truth. He loved me then and he'll love me now. And if the pain is too deep, I'm pro-therapy, so you could definitely go see a counselor, and I say you should. But if the pain is too deep, you can invite him into those moments. I want to share with you all, just kind of as I close out, a couple of weeks ago, Aaron and I found out some really cool news that we're pregnant. Yeah. So she just turned 40, you know, and so it's been cool. It's just been kind of like, you know, in some ways it's been hard, and I'll tell you why, because we've had 4 miscarriages. And walk through this study this week helped me to remember that the Lord, he rescued me. And I gotta be honest, like, when she told me, my first reaction is like, oh, we'll see if this actually happens, like actually comes to pass. I'm not going to believe it till I see that little heartbeat on the screen. And on Wednesday in the morning, we go to the doctor's office, and I was like, I was anxious, my heart was beating, all of those kind of things, and I had to think back that God met me at the point of every one of those miscarriages. He met my needs he met Aaron's needs every single time. You know what? As I prayed, the Lord has shown me that every one of those babies are with him. Every single one of them. And you know, as I sat in that room and they did the ultrasound, I looked and we saw that little bitty heartbeat. My heart, like, it was a moment of joy and celebration, but it was a moment of like, look at what God has done. Look at what he has done. He has been with me in every single moment of my life, whether I wanted to see it or say it or not. He's been there. We just have to invite him in. We just have to ask him, Lord, come in. Come into these memories, come into this sin, come to these points of need, and know that, like the psalmist says in this, as he travels up to Jerusalem, I know you were faithful, I know you're going to be faithful, and you did not leave me in despair. It brings us great joy. And I hope it helps you to have the joy and the fervor to share your story of when you remember God rescuing you and pulling off the yoke of that sin and putting on the yoke of Christ, the easy yoke, the one that we can walk with joy in. So as I close out, I want to challenge you to go home this week and to write down your story. Write down the, maybe like just bullet points. Where has God been faithful? Just write it down. Where has He shown up in my life? And put it on your fridge for the days in the morning that you wake up, that you've had the best cup of coffee in your life, and you're going to seize the day. And also for the days where you feel so broken and so sinful, to know that God shows up the same way. That He loved you then, and He'll love you now. To write down your story, and to know that God is faithful. It doesn't matter who you are. So I want to pray for us, and we're going to sing a song. This song is a really old song, but it's new to you guys probably. And it talks about all this, and you're welcome to sing it. You're welcome to let it just wash over you if you like. But if you want to stand, you can. It's totally up to you. But if you like to sit and just listen, that's fine too. Whatever it is that's best for you. But I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing together, and then we'll be done. Lord Jesus, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your rescue. We thank You for how You meet us at every single point of our need. Lord, and forgive us when we forget that You're the God with every resource. You're the God that can heal us physically and emotionally. You can step into our memories and help us through those things. God, help to show us how, Lord, You love us in the midst of all of that. So God, I pray as we worship together, that You would just teach us more about who You are, Lord, and about who we are in You. Lord, we love You. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.